He wanted a gift, but he wasn't going to be 80 before he had to get it. Amen. I don't blame you. They keep trying to make me older than I am, and so I'm holding on to 39 as long as I can. I'm kidding, man. All right, let's open up the book of Psalms this morning. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, specifically in Psalm 39 today, Psalm 39. And it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And it is Father's Day, as we know. We've spoken about that quite a bit today already. And I think one of the most important aspects of being a father. Robbie hit the nail on the head, so one third of the sermon's gone, and so that's a blessing. And but I think one of the most vital roles as a father is to capitalize on our time. Time is important. Amen? You can do everything in the world. You give all your ducks in a row. You can be successful. You can provide a big home and baseball parks and all of this and that. But time is the key. Amen. Psalm 39, if you'll stand with me, if you're willing and able to this morning as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 39, and we're going to be looking in verses 4 through 7 today. The Bible says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of thy word. And we ask of you this morning to spend this time with us today, dear God, as we not only honor fathers today, but as Lord, as we come together one with another, let us recognize the importance of our time here on this earth. The importance of our time as believers today is the importance of our times as dads to our children. Father, we're here today, gone tomorrow. Lord, it's as if yesterday we see our children born, and next thing you know, they're graduating or they're having families of their own. So, Father, today, I ask you to help us just ponder these moments that we've been given. Let us never to take them for granted. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. Beloved, there's one thing that we know in life that is certain. One thing with absolute certainty, with positivity. I mean, there's one thing that we know without a shadow of a doubt that if we will really absorb it, is that time waits for no one. Life in itself is frail. Our days upon this earth is but a fleeting moment. It is here today and it's gone tomorrow. And that's just the way it is. Any of you here today who may have a little bit of gray on you, or will have some gray, or you have a child over 5 years old, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I can remember the moment every one of my children were born. I can remember when they started school. I can remember when they started playing sports. I can remember when they got saved. I remember when they were baptized. I remember all of those things. And it was as if it was yesterday.
Amen.
It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Our days on this earth are fleeting. They're here today and they're just gone. Time will hold to no man's calendar. It will hold to no woman's schedule. It will hold to no child's dream. Time is a constant and it is ever moving. But the key of time is living.
There you go.
It is moving continually. As a father, our time of instruction will be short. Hands down. Yeah. It will be short. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what you schedule, what we plan, or what we assume. The time that you have with your children to influence their life is but a small, small, small window. We're given this small window to reach those who we love. We're given this small window that the Lord has given us to instruct people in righteousness, to instruct our family in righteousness. And it is the duty of every single dad to teach their children the right ways of God, the Word of God, and the way of God. Amen. It's our duty. It's our job. You can be the wealthiest man on the planet. You can have the grandest home on in the town or in the county. You can have all the land where you can provide everything physically for your children, and that's a great and wonderful thing. If we fail to teach them the right ways of God, amen, what they do with it is their choice. You need to understand this, dads. You're only going to have a small window when your children are going to operate under your rules and your schedule. There's going to come a day when, you heard this morning, Dad mentioned about reputation. Children begin to develop their own personality, their own way of thinking. They do that. Children begin to do that. Matter of fact, it happens around 10 to 11 and 12 years old. There's other things that happen around that time, but the brain begins to develop, begins to shape. And it has by the influx of hormones in a child. We think the kids are just moody because they're going through this and they're going. That's not it. They're developing their own personality with the foundation that you've laid in their life, good or bad, or even different, amen. It's part of life. It's a milestone.
Amen.
So when you begin to look at your children and what the age they're at, if you don't have that child's heart by the age of five, I heard a preacher say one time, you'll never have it. That's a small window. Small window to lay a foundation. Your children may go astray. The Bible tells me, train them up in the right way of the Lord. Train them up the way of the Lord. When they're old, they will not depart from it. That may mean they go out, but they may come back, and that's the thing. We have a small window in our life, guys, to do the right thing.
Amen.
That's what you're going to give an account for, amen. Job said this. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dad mentioned that painting that he was talking about the little boy with the shadow in the form of the cross in a carpenter's room. That was in my office. That was in the very front to the left side of my office in Nashville. I put it right there. It was one of my favorite paintings of all time. You had a dad there. Obviously, it was a Jewish dad with the robe on and the sandals. And he was working on carpentry. And the son, the child, was down here on the floor playing with three nails, three big old nails. And sunlight came through the window and was a shadow of the cross that was displayed upon the floor.
Amen.
Saying that to say this, our life is like a shadow. You know how quick a shadow moves? I mean, it's here one moment, then it's here. That's what our life is like, and that's the window that we're given in our life. And as a father, we must capitalize on the opportunities that we are given here and now. And it must not be put aside. It shan't be left alone, rather than utilize and cherish every single moment of this life. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:29, he says, "But this I say, brethren," he said, "the time is short." Now, guys, we say that, we believe it. I believe most of us in here are probably looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can promise you right now, I am one of those type of people. I may touch on that here in just a second, but that's the way my mindset is. I am looking for it, and I've been looking for it for 9 to 30 years now. But beloved, we're gathered today on the Father's Day of 2021.
Right.
Most dads today would say that it seems like yesterday when their children were born.
Right.
Most dads will say that it seemed like yesterday they just taught their child to throw a baseball, or their daughter to play with their first doll. It seems like it was just yesterday.
Amen.
I am one of those guys that stands in amazement that the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet.
Right.
That's just me. That's the way I'm looking. I'm not looking to leave, but I am looking for my Lord. And I do look for him on a daily basis. And every single year I say, if the Lord tarries, we'll see 2021 or 2022. If the Lord tarries, we'll see the next Father's Day, or we'll see this, or we'll see that. And bless God, if I'm preaching here today and I'm standing before each and every one of you here this morning, guess what? The Lord tarry is coming, and he knows what he's doing, amen. And even the words of Apostle John, the Apostle John closed up the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ by saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That was John's plea in about AD 96 as he was on the Isle of Patmos. His plea was, you know, come on, Lord, let's go. Let's get this thing over with. But the words of Jesus Christ said, "Occupy until I come." We have a job to do in our life. We have a job to do in our days. And many of us, many who have come long before us probably ask the question, why are we still here? Why remain? Why occupy? Why, as mentioned earlier, why work out our own salvation? Why live for Christ in a wretched world? Why do we do it? That's a simple answer. Because there's so many souls, yet there's so little time. There's so many sons, and yet there's so little time. There's so many daughters, and yet there's so little time. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's why we occupy. Paul said, brethren, the time is short.
Right.
As fathers today, especially in a world and age where, I mean, let's be honest, man, deadbeat dads, they're more prevalent than ever. I'm not going to rant today, and I am not going to go over our time this morning, but I am going to tell you this. From where we're from in the United Kingdom, churches have shut down because men quit doing their job. We can say what we want to say. We can sit here and we can say all that we want about, well, bless God, people just turn their back on the Lord. Men quit doing their job. The pulpit failed. The churches that most of the churches that remained open were held together by two and three little old ladies who kept that place clean and kept that place running, period. Now, I don't care why. It does not matter whether you like that or not. And I know what the Bible says, and I know the biblical positions of everything. I understand all that. Amen. I understand who and what a pastor is, amen. Not should be, but is, amen. I understand what a deacon is, and I understand that the churches in the United Kingdom have made grave errors by altering the doctrine. I get that, but I also know this. There's a multitude of churches that are operating today with pastors in them would have never got that opportunity had two or three little old ladies not held that place together for 20, 30, 40 years, amen. So we live in a world where deadbeat dads, guys, deadbeat dads, you hear more about them than you do the good fathers, amen.
That's right.
So it's vital that we today, it's vital that we utilize every moment of the time that God has given us to lead our family in the right ways of Christ.
That's right.
I mean, look at it, beloved. Think about it. I want to look this morning at the most valuable asset that you and I have. As a child of God, we're saved and we're born again by the grace of God. We believe on Jesus Christ by faith and in the Word of God, amen. But the most valuable asset that Jesus Christ has given us in our Christian life is time. Amen. And again, ladies, this is not a reflection, you know, against moms today. It's just happened to be Dad's Day, amen. My wife gets two Mother's Day because Mother's Day in the UK is in March and then turns around in May and gets another one, amen. And so, you know, she just ran. Guess what? Father's Day in the UK, it's today. Father's Day here in America, it's today. I don't get two of them, amen. You know, my kid, people, what do you want for Father's? I want a hug and a happy Father's Day. That's all I want, amen. I mean, I'm telling you guys, it's time for our wife today to understand that we're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We are given a duty and a job to see people saved and born again, to disciple them up so that they may go out and do the same thing. But that same interaction needs to be inside of their own family. One of the greatest mistakes so many make today is assuming that there will be enough time to do this and to do that, enough time to witness, enough time to be a parent, enough time to be a husband, enough time to be a wife. And I'm telling you tonight, there simply is not enough time. I'm getting to that age now that I'm reading a post and reading messages that friends of mine, their spouses are passing away. And I realize that's rather early. I'll be 50 in August, and I understand that. But I have a multitude of friends that I grew up with from the age of 12 and onward that they've lost their husbands, they've lost their wives already, amen. There's not enough time. Too many parents will spend 75% of their time working, assuming that they will have time later on to lead, guide, and direct. And again, I remind you what Paul said, brethren, time's short.
That's right.
First thing I want you to see here this morning, I'm going to leave you in the book of Psalms tonight. You're not going to turn anywhere. But the first thing I want us to understand is that time is priceless.
That's right.
Time is priceless. Nothing so beautiful, so bold or barren as time. It is fulfilling, it is fruitful, and yet it is so fragile. One once said that until you value yourself, you won't value your time. And until you value your time, you will not do anything with it. Your time is priceless. Look in verse 4 of our text. And it says here, the psalmist is pleading with God, saying, make me to know my end, watch this, to measure my days. The old saying is measure twice, cut once. Amen. To measure your days, to understand that you're not going to have tomorrow, you're not going to have next week, that we ought not put things off concerning our family. You know what? There are loads of projects that can be done later. And if they don't get done because you run out of time, then so be it. It's more important to spend time with that family. Amen. You're not always going to have the time and the moments to spend with children. They're not always going to be the age that you want them to be. And young parents, if I can tell you anything right now, do not wish those young days away. Don't do it. Listen, there's not a daddy one on his deathbed that ever said, man, I wish I'd have spent one more hour for the man. I wish I'd have spent one more hour on that job site. I wish I'd have spent one more hour in that office. There's been loads of them that said, I wish I had one more hour with my son. I can remember starting our practice. Denise was pregnant. We got married in November of 98. And I started my own business in end of April, technically, really 1st of May, but end of April, 1999. She was due later on that summer to have David. And he's a honeymoon baby, so that's the way that happened. And we had $500 to our name in a little rental house on Highway 41. And I got to be honest, I didn't know where that thing was going to go. I remember telling Denise that if I can see one patient, this particular type of patient, if I can see one a month, we'll get by. There you go. I was like, wow, you know. And that thing grew in leaps and bounds in ways that I could have never in my life imagined. Amen. But I never forsook time with my family. I didn't do it. Every night we ate dinner together. Now, my children didn't realize it. My children wanted more time. But every night we ate dinner together. Every night we went on the back porch, had a cup of coffee, watched the sunset as the kids ran around the yard, threw the football to them, all four of them. Bailey would jerk and yank Daniel down and jump on him and step on him and all the stuff that she would do. She was mean, boy. Nah, she was just tough. She had three older brothers. She had to be. But, you know, it was common for me to go home, be home at dinner time, eat dinner together, go on the back porch, spend time with my wife and my children. I taught Darius how to rollerblade on our back porch with one rollerblade. He had one and I had the other. And we went around in circles. That's how we did it. The kid just took off to it. We went ice skating every year up in over Gatlinburg. And I said, well, I want to see how Darius does. Darius stepped out on the ice, boom, shot off like a rocket. I said, well, I guess he's got that covered. Shot off like a rocket. You know, Denise and David were hugging the rails the whole time. Sorry. I tell that story, she doesn't believe me. But anyway. But you know, sometimes every time the kids have their bath time, then the kids have their bedtime. And our children typically went to bed about 7:30 every night, got up about 5:30 every morning. And our kids, we were blessed to have children that actually slept, unlike me. And but it was common for me when Denise would go to bed, and usually go to bed around 10, I'd go back to the office. I'd work 4 to 6 hours in the lab in preparation for the next day, and I'd come home, I'd get a few hours sleep, I'd shower, and I'd do it again. You say, well, preacher, you could have just stayed 3 or 4 hours and got home at 8 o'clock. Yeah, I could have, but I'd have missed having dinner with my children. I'd have missed that porch time.
Amen. Amen.
I'd have missed out. Amen. Sometimes you pay a price. You pay the sacrifice in order for your children to have dad there at home every time that you can. Right. Mornings that I didn't have to go into the hospital, we ate breakfast together every single morning. When David was a baby, David and Darius, each morning, every Saturday morning, I'd alternate. And I'd take one of them to Cracker Barrel and we'd have a breakfast. It was just Daddy and you know, they were little bitty kids. Darius probably doesn't even remember it. They were babies. But it was Daddy and son time. And we rotated those out over and over and over. Yeah, you know what? It took time. It cost money. It did all those things. And it was worth it.
Amen.
It was worth every moment. Time is priceless, my friend. James said in James 4, verses 13 through 15, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that.
Amen.
We stand here, and again, I've already mentioned this, we stand here today, Father's Day 2021. And we need to understand that the only reason we're here today is the Lord's will. And there's a reason why we are here today. I count it not for tomorrow. I look not for what's going to happen 2 days from now. But I do know right now that the day that God has given us, this very moment, is priceless.
Amen.
Christ has allotted and appointed us priceless time to cherish as the days go by. And beloved, it was Solomon who said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bringeth forth.
Amen.
Look back into the last months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, seconds of just the past year. Look back in the last 12 months. How was your priceless time utilized for your family? How is it utilized for the kingdom of heaven? How is it utilized for the bride of Christ? Beloved, let's make something crystal clear this morning. Your first ministry is your family, men.
Amen.
It ain't the church.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
My first ministry is my family. My first ministry as a husband is my wife. Her first ministry is me.
Amen.
Our first ministry are our children, period. Right. And that doesn't end when they turn 18. I was talking to one of my sons the other day. We were talking about something that he wanted to talk to me about a few months ago. And I was on the phone when he came out of him taking his test. And a preacher from over here in the States, he called me and asked me a Bible question. And we were discussing this and that. And then when I got off the phone, he just bypassed, asked me this question. And I said, son, listen. I said, here's the deal. I will drop anything and everything that I'm doing when you need anything, whether it's a chat, whether it's a problem, whether it's a praise, it doesn't matter. You need to know this, and I want my kids to know this. I've always wanted them to know this. They come first. Amen. And me and Denise. And you say, well, preacher, why do you say it's y'all's first? Because it's ours together.
Amen.
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 We don't have separate ministries. My ministry to the children, her ministry. We do this together. We're a team.
Amen.
Why are we a team? Because if I focus 100% of my time, if all of my time that is priceless in this world today, if everything that I have personally goes into my children and everything she has goes into her children, when our children are out of the nest, we'll have no relationship. About 20 years ago, divorce amongst those who have been married 20 plus years at the age of 45 to 48 skyrocketed. As a matter of fact, it jumped up 42.5%. You know why? They committed their entire life to their children solely and not to them.
Trying.
Not to themselves. You ain't going back and getting that time, people.
Amen.
Amen. It's priceless. There is nothing on this planet worth losing that time with your family.
Amen.
I tell people, hey, I've been married 23 years this November. You keep dating your wife. Keep the honey in the honeymoon. Amen?
Amen.
I make no bones about it. I'm not embarrassed to say that whatsoever. People say, oh, you shouldn't say that. Yeah, you should say that. Amen?
Amen.
God's given you somebody to marry. You need to keep that thing fresh. Amen? And I'll Amen. Just stop right there. Amen?
Amen.
I just got to look so I know to stop. I'm kidding. The opportunities the Lord presents to us every single day, guys, were they personal or were they priceless in our life? I mean, did we use the time that God has given us properly or did we waste it purposely? I mean, we can't go back. And speaking to those who assume that they will always have tomorrow, James said this. He said, but now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. You know the good thing to do. The right thing to do is what? Is to take that priceless time and invest it into your family.
Amen.
Invest it. Ben Franklin said, you may delay, but time will not.
That's right.
Beloved, I say to you again, time is short. Priceless time, Christ is honored. Priceless time, Christ is hailed, which is given to us to hold and do something with it. But time is not only priceless, fathers, but may I say to you, it's precious. We were singing that song, Blessed Jesus, Hold My Hand. I love that song. I love it. I kept saying precious. And precious Jesus. Denise finally looked over and said, it's blessed, not precious. I know, but I got that point number two today in my sermon, so I keep saying precious, amen. I always mess the words up. I just keep going. But it is precious. Look in verse 5 with me. Notice what the psalmist said. He says, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before me. Beloved, we speak of the return of Christ, of which, guys, he will one day perform, and we're looking forward to that. But how will we be found? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful.
Amen.
Remember what I said about your first ministry, your family? It's your first, but it's not your last. It's not your only. Amen. Stewardship. Christ is looking at his bride, measuring how he is managing the precious time that he has given us. It is being used in preparation for a wedding day, or are you using it for pardoning your own weaknesses? Is your time, your precious time, being used for the beauty of heaven or the backwash of our own heart? Beloved, time is so close, yet it is so far. It is so dear to many, but it's despised by so others. George Bernard Shaw one time said, everything happens to everybody sooner or later. If there's enough time, I want you to look back. Fathers, I want you to look back and examine how precious time that you've had in your life. In the balances of judgment today, how will your stewardship be weighed? Was our time spent in praise, or was it compared to a person? Was our time spent in prayer, or was it compared to ponder? Was our time spent in practice, or is it compared to empty promises? Yeah, we'll do that later. We'll go there. Time, beloved, priceless. It's a precious gift from our Creator. And lastly, this morning, may I say to you that our time must be prioritized.
Amen.
Notice what we read in our last two verses, verses 6 and 7. We're just going to read the final part. It says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for?" He says, "My hope is in thee."
Amen.
Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 and onwards. For time's sake, we're not going to turn there. But he says, "For every time there's a season, there's something that's going to happen in the time that God has allowed." And beloved, time is an asset which cannot be reused, it cannot be reserved, it cannot be reproduced. It is only required. Every minute which goes by is gone for eternity, and guess what? It will not return.
That's right.
The next time you see this moment, right now, this very second, will be at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you chose to do with the time that you've been given. What you chose to do with the words that are being said. What changes you made in your heart. With what's going, that's what you're going to give an account for at the judgment seat of Christ. Every opportunity to witness. Every opportunity to pray. Every opportunity to praise. Every opportunity to practice. Every opportunity to be in church. But also every opportunity to lead your family. The opportunity to pray with your children. Every opportunity to spend time together. Every opportunity you hear Daddy when you walk through the door. You know, one of the greatest things I miss about getting older and my children getting older is that right there.
Yeah.
The highlight of my day was coming through that door. And no matter how stressful it was, no matter how, and trust me, there were plenty of days when I came through that door and four children screamed Daddy and they ran over and hugged. That was the highlight of my day. And I'm telling you right now, you better enjoy it right now.
Amen.
Because as many of us know, there's coming a day when it's not going to happen anymore.
Right.
All right, that one over there tries to jump on me and he knocks me down. There is a time for every season, but for every season, there is not a time. Time must be prioritized. It must be placed in order. It must be balanced properly.
Amen.
We all prioritize our time, but we do so by our priorities. Guys, you know, you do what is important to you. Yeah. Amen? You know what? Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, if you're going to be in church in those times and that time appointed, you're going to be there by prioritization. Amen?
Time.
The determining factor lies within whom and what is most important in your life. Is it Christ or is it our cares? So today, as we walk forward, let us leave the things and the cares of this world, let us leave them behind and let us answer the question, how can we better prioritize that priceless commodity of precious time that God has given us? Henry Ward Beecher said, every tomorrow has two handles. We can take hold of it with the handle of anxiety, or we can take hold of it with the handle of faith. Beloved, the task that you are given today is to try to build a better world. And I can tell you right now, you're not going to change Washington, D.C., so we don't need to complain about it. You're not going to change the parliament in London, so you don't need to get up here and rant about it. Amen? You're not going to change it. What you're going to change is yourself.
Amen.
With the time that you're given, you're not interested in building a better government, building a better policy, building a better county. You're interested in building a better you so that it'll affect your family. And so if everyone, if you can imagine today, if everyone in our county right here worked on being a better you, a better family, how that would go through our county today.
Amen.
And make a better world.
Amen.
You got to utilize the time that God has given you, the work from today, simply to be a better you so that we can be a better us by taking the priceless, precious time and prioritizing it in the way that would be glorifying.
Amen.
To the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? With every head bowed, every eyes closed, we're going to turn the invitation time over to the pastor here in just a moment. I'm going to close in prayer and turn it over to him. But I ask you to do today in your heart what God sees fit. Father in heaven, I come to you this morning. I pray, dear God, as we submit this time of invitation over to you, Lord, that I pray that you tender and touch hearts today, that you would speak to them in a mighty way, dear God, that honor and glory be given to the name of Jesus Christ. But Father, I pray that every father, every mother, every child in this room this morning would begin to examine the time that they are using, the time and how they are using it for you. How that they can make changes in their life to be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and may be more beneficial for not only your glory, but even for their life here on this earth. Dear God, I pray that your mighty hand may rest upon